Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters. I am your host, Rick Stevens. We are presented by FRS Financial, and this is your show. If you've got questions you'd like to have answered, if you've got things you're wondering about, feel free to give us a call, 719-500-8700. You can also send us a message through email. That's rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, today with me in the studio once again is Doug Gooden. Doug, how are we doing today?
Doing great. It's good to be back with you, Rick.
We're going to be talking about, believe it or not, kids, because I think that's what we talk about every time you're here, Doug.
Probably.
I think so. So we're going to talk about the world of kids. We're going to talk about basically all those things we do as we're raising them that really we're doing things to support them, right? Because there are kids, we like to support them in different things, right, Doug? Am I okay with that?
You got it.
All right. So, you know, one of the things that I know I've learned over time, my oldest 21, your oldest is right in that same age range as well. And I've learned, and this is probably going to be just this crazy earth-shattering concept, kids cost money.
You think
just a little bit, right? That theoretically, that shouldn't be a surprise, right? To anybody that's ever actually raised children in some way, shape, or form. Back in 2020, the USDA actually put together a study, and they're looking at what does it cost to actually raise a child, and they chose a kid born in 2015. I have no idea how they came up with that year, but they picked 2015. Raising a kid to the age of 18, USDA says that's going to take a little bit north of $230,000 to do, right? So if we just break that down, divide it out equally, right, it's about $13,000 a year. I'm not sure if that's enough some years. Does it work that way in the Gooden house too?
And as I hear those numbers, I think, if that's true, then my kids are gone. I'm getting a huge raise, right?
Exactly. Well, you've only got three going. Yeah. I got six. Think of how much raise I'm going to end up with. Woo! That's going to be useful. So there are a couple things here, though, that I'd like to kind of delve a little bit deeper with on those numbers, because the USDA actually breaks them down into different categories. The category they say costs the most for kids is housing. Right, about 30% of that $13,000 a year is spent on housing. But it's not just, you know, where you live. It's also all the utilities and that sort of stuff. And that's about $4,000 per kid per year in the housing world. Does that seem like a lot of lights getting left on to you?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, at my house, I am typically the light turner offer. Yep. Technical term there, but I don't know what in the world is also part of that. I'm sure it's got to be, you know, based on the square footage that a kid takes up. I have learned this, and you may have learned the same. The younger they are, the more square footage they take.
Yeah.
Because the older ones may have more expensive stuff, but it doesn't take up as much room.
You're making me feel better about buying the smart plugs now that I think about it. You know,
yes.
It's a lot easier to turn those off. And
very, very much so. So, you know, when it comes to being mindful, right, of the stewardship of the home, and we try to work with these things with our kids, You know, things like, hey, it's okay to turn off the water when you're brushing your teeth. It's okay. You don't have to take a 100% hot shower. Some cool water in there is fine. You can turn off the lights when you leave a room. Nice, normal stuff. What are some of those things that as your kids have grown up that you've kind of worked with them on, hey, this is how we take care of the house, guys?
Yeah, same kind of thing. Just general taking care of your property. Even things like with my son and our lawnmower, right? Take care of it. We're not going to buy a new lawnmower every summer. So
right.
Don't run over the roots and don't run over rocks and things and keep the blade sharp, those kind of things. But just in general, trying to instill the principle that in the long run, maintenance is cheaper typically than replacement and that kind of thing. But then there's, we do. We tell them to turn off lights, and of course they don't. And, and then we find ourselves not doing it either. You know, it's
right.
It's harder to do. But I think just looking at everything in your household and saying, okay, we want to enjoy this. We want it to function. We're here for a reason. But at the same time, just throwing money away is so easy to do when, especially in a digital age, when it's transferring numbers from an account to another account as opposed to actually getting the cash out. And
it's easy to
lose track of how much money we're spending. So, yeah, like you, just very simple, basic kind of things.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and I've looked at this, and sometimes with my children, I've gone, you are my child, but are you my child? Because you're repeating some things back that I've told you to do, and you've done them. But that doesn't always seem normal, does it?
Right. No, not at all.
One of the other things that the study itself showed was that the older kids get, here's the great big giant piece, the more expensive they are. Does that seem a little surprising to you?
What? I thought it was just me. Yeah, absolutely. Just simple things like food, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember, I've only got three kids, but we used to go to Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
We would get one meal and split it between, maybe one, you know, two meals and split it between the kids. And now my son wants two or three on his own. Kind of thing. That's just one example. But yeah, everything costs more for these kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that was, I used to, when I would tell folks, you know, I have six kids, I got two boys, four girls. And you know, one of the things that they would always say is, four girls, that's a lot of weddings. And I would tell them, you know, that's four one-time events I can plan the spending for. But based on the split in ages and really where they're at now, my girls are 18, 15, 13, and 10. And if those were boys, I didn't want that grocery bill every week.
Exactly.
The older they get, especially those teenage years, there are calories consumed. For
you know,
sure.
As I was reflecting on some of the questions that you sent me to prepare for this, I was asking my kids, what do you remember as you were younger about some of these things? And they brought up with me, with a little bit of a negative tone, you made us start buying toiletries early on. And we did. And part of the reason for that was you're going to finish the tube of toothpaste.
Yes.
Right? And one of the ways to help them do that is they're going to buy the next tube of toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're squeezing every little thing out of that they can, right? And so giving them a sense of responsibility as early as you can to say, life is expensive.
Yeah.
And when dad's paying the bill, you don't care about that. But if I make you pay some of those bills, suddenly they care a little bit more about what those things cost.
Yes. Yes, in fact, they do. It's amazing that once that that ownership of the cost transfers, how many more things go through those minds, even at that young age, to go, do I really need this right now, or can I wait? And that's, you know, one of those big things is really teaching them that delayed gratification kind of an idea. Even with that tube of toothpaste, it's still a delayed gratification, because you can still squeeze more out of that, I promise you. Well, folks, we are up against the first break in today's show. When we come back, we are going to continue on what we're doing with our kids, how we support them, how we, you know, train them up, but also what things we get to say no to at times and why we want to do that sort of stuff. So stick around. You will not want to miss where we're headed next. So what's on your mind these days? Is it your retirement? Maybe it's paying for college. Maybe you've got a life insurance or a long-term care insurance question. Folks, this is Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group, And we're here to answer those questions that you have. We'll walk with you all steps along the way, figuring out what is in your best interest, what is your goal, and what are the tools we need to get you there. FRS Financial Group, where we put your needs first. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. Well, folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that break. This is Money Matters presented by FRS Financial. And in the studio with me this week is Doug Gooden. We're talking about kids. We're talking about the cost of kids. And Doug, we're gonna get into on this segment one of those pieces that shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. And that's that the second major cost with kids is feeding them. I oftentimes, you know, when I'm out places and, you know, getting to meet folks and they're going, oh, do you have any pets? And I say, I have six children. I can't afford to feed pets. We have no pets. That doesn't exist in my house. USDA says it's about 18% of the annual cost of raising kids, or about $2,300 per child spent on food. I would actually be willing to bet, with the number they put for housing versus the number they put for food, it's probably closer to a swap of those costs. And I don't know if you have found this to be the case yet, but even as some of my older ones have gone out of the house, the younger ones are still getting older and they're still eating more. And I'm not sure my food bill has gone down yet, even with one completely out of the house so far.
Now, if all the kids leave and it's the same, then we're going to know who the real problem.
That's true. That's true. We're going to know it's me at that point in there. So I know we've talked on here before. We've talked about budgeting. One of those things that I know you guys do a tremendous job of, and I'm going to give you credit, even though it's probably mostly Krista.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because, hey, we're a team. We make some decisions here. What are some of those things that you guys have really worked on to streamline and make that budget efficient when it comes to food?
Yeah, none of this is, of course, you know, groundbreaking, but it starts with what you just said. It's actually having a budget and sticking to it. That drives everything else. So we early on, as our income has increased, and we relook at everything, but we allot this much for spending on food. And then we have eating out as a separate category, because that's a little more flexible usually. But here's how much we're going to spend on groceries, and we got to stick with it. And how do we do that? Well, we plan a weekly meal plan. My wife still will set aside a couple hours on the weekend usually and plan out what we're going to have, mostly in the evenings. You know, our lifestyle is such that we're all in different places during the day, that kind of thing. But at home, when we're eating together, here are the meals we're going to have. And then that leads to basically one shopping trip a week. Mm-hmm. And you buy the stuff that's on the list, not the stuff that's not on the list. And
exactly.
She won't let me go to the store anymore because I am the worst. And, oh, that looks good. Ooh, let's get that. Let's get that. But, you know, if you have a plan and you stick to it, then you know where your money's going as far as how much money you're going to spend that month, that kind of thing. We have scheduled leftover nights. Mm-hmm. She builds that in. Like, we're going to eat new stuff for three nights in a row. Then the fourth night is going to be leftovers and just enjoy all that. Or she'll have freezer nights or pantry nights, just things that, for whatever reason, have built up in the freezer or the pantry. And now it's just a hodgepodge, right? We just empty out the freezer and we cook everything and eat it all.
So it's like the home version of Chopped, right?
Exactly.
Here are four ingredients that may or may not have anything to do with each other. Fix a dinner.
Exactly.
We have some fun with that. You know, we do some very similar things with that. We've got our meal plan. My wife usually plans on Thursdays because then Friday or Saturday, depending on what's going on, become that shopping day. And we actually do it in a very similar way. Typically speaking, whatever Thursday's night's dinner was is Friday's lunch. Mm-hmm. And Friday night's dinner is Saturday's lunch. And yes, there are those days where it's, okay, get this, 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 and this from the freezer, because we actually keep what we call a FOOP list. It's very important sort of concept there. We put the umlauts above the U. It's the food utilization program.
Wow.
Basically, it's just on the whiteboard that says, hey, we got this, this, and this in the freezer. Let's use that sometime this week. but, you know, it's very similar in that way. And we also try to do, so one of the things that we have appreciated is that places like King Soopers that have their app and their digital coupons, you click your digital coupons, it automatically loads it onto your King Soopers card there, and you can use that coupon 5 times, which is nice. I just learned that one the other day, because before, if you've clipped them out of the Sunday paper, you only get to use it the 1 time. This one will let it use you 5 times. Like, ooh, all right, another good note to self. So, but streamlining that budget, definitely a big piece there. I want to hit one thing here, though, that the study that the USDA did not actually include, right? Because they only took the kid up to age 18. So they did not include any cost related to post-high school education. I say post-high school because it doesn't have to be college, right? Mm-hmm. I spent 15 years in the classroom and was one of the folks who consistently told students, you don't need to go to a 4-year school. You may not even need to go to a 2-year school. You know what? You're great when you're working in the auto shop. Why not go to a vocational school and get your mechanic certification because you love doing that sort of stuff? There are all kinds of ways to pay for post-high school education. What works for one family doesn't work for everybody, right? Also, what works for one kid doesn't necessarily work for the other kids. Mine are proof of that. I know yours are proof of that as well. So how are some of the ways that you and Krista have approached that post-high school education with your kids?
And you know, we're still kind of in the midst of that with a couple of them that are in that middle group. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is the starting principle is no student loans.
Yes.
Now, there are exceptions to that. You know, if one of my kids really was going to pursue a medical degree, a doctor, you just can't get a medical degree these days.
They don't let you apprentice that.
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, right?
Yes, yes.
But apart from that, like, no, we're just not going to pursue anything that requires student loans. So that's where we start. We've taken advantage of the dual enrollment through TCA here locally, where our kids in the junior and high and senior years are getting college credit by taking classes at the local community college. So my middle daughter graduated with an associate's and never had to spend a dime or a minute in college outside of high school. So that's kind of one way here we have the ability to do that. I think it's important to determine what are we after. Like you were just using the mechanics illustration. Before you just default to pursuing this, what is it you're going to do? And I think the stereotypical gap year is great. Spend some time in the real world having a full-time job, which causes the kid to say, oh, if I'm going to spend my life doing this, what do I really want to be doing? And then let's figure out how to get the education or the training or whatever you need, but to not just default to going somewhere that's going to cost you money unless there's a clear way ahead that's going to earn you money down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And my kids, we have done some similar things in there. My oldest, yes, he did his first 2 years, did his associate's degree, dual enrollment with high school, goes straight to the last 2 years that he's got at Grand Canyon right now. My number two, she's actually going to go to college straight as a freshman, which is okay because the college is going to pay for her to go do that. And that's, you know, one of Dad's favorite costs is zero on things. And, you know, as the rest of mine kind of come through, we're doing that, you know, looking at what's the right thing for this particular kid. Because that really is one of those important pieces to that, isn't it?
Very much. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, folks, we are up against that second break in the show. When we come back, we're actually going to pick up from here, talking about seeing our kids, helping them discover some gifting, some talents, and what we do to support them. Stick around. We will be right back. So what's on your mind these days? Is it your retirement? Maybe it's paying for college. Maybe you've got a life insurance or a long-term care insurance question. Folks, this is Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group, and we're here to answer those questions that you have. We'll walk with you all steps along the way, figuring out what is in your best interest, what is your goal, and what are the tools we need to get you there. FRS Financial Group, where we put your needs first. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. Folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break. We are coming into the home stretch today with Doug Gooden here in studio, and we are talking about our kids, what we're doing as parents, how much it costs to raise them, because, you know, it is money matters. So there's some money involved in there. And we were coming into that break talking a little bit about college and how our kids are bent, if you will, what their natural talents and giftings are. Doug, as a dad, I know you've studied your children. I know that you see their makeup. I know that you see what they're gifted at. How have you guys gone about supporting them in helping them over the years to not only discover that gifting, that talent, but to hone it as well?
I think early on is especially important to give them a variety of experiences. You know, it's so easy to see they show some interest in this and think, oh, that's what they're going to be, you know, when they're 4, 5, 6.
Right.
No, we change so much over time.
You mean not every kid that plays with Legos is going to be an engineer?
Exactly. Exactly. So give them a lot of experiences and realize that things change. And then as we were kind of talking before the break there, just the reality of having to earn a living eventually also changes perspective. So you can't just lock into one thing. But then you do watch and see where are their aptitudes? What are they excited about? What are they good at? Because just because they're enthusiastic about it doesn't mean they're good at it or
right,
vice versa.
Right.
So with my middle daughter, for instance, she showed early on interest in sign language. We taught all of our kids some of the basic sign language when they were a little bitty, like more, please, so they could communicate before they could talk. Well, she latched onto that, but then went beyond that. So we ended up getting her a private tutor, and she loved it, and she's really good at it. She also loved to sing. And my older daughter, very talented musician, we paid for both of them to take voice lessons. Middle daughter, her aptitude just wasn't as strong, and it was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, we had a very hard conversation.
Yes.
And said, we can't afford to pay for both of these. And I had a hard conversation as a dad, broke my heart, but to say, sweetheart, your strength is much more in sign language than it is in vocal production. And so she decided she wanted to use that money that we were going to give to the sign language. And now she got her associates. She's got a great career already. She's 19.
Wow.
And she's making great money as a sign language interpreter, and she loves it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's the kind of thing where, you know, we had to make some hard decisions. We weren't going to just throw money at everything she was interested in, but we helped her kind of toe that line. And she could sing. She sings all the time.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to be where she pursued anything.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's one of those pieces out there in knowing your kids and seeing your kids. for example, my youngest, we had him in swim lessons. And after about 2 sets of swim lessons, decided this is not what Riley wants to do because he hated the water, hated putting his head under the water. That's why he also hates taking a shower. the kid does not want his head wet. And if you don't want your head wet, not a good idea to keep paying for swim lessons at that point. So there are certain things where we've done that. But with my youngest daughter, Sophia, she's been swim lessons for, golly, probably a year and a half, 2 years maybe at this point. And absolutely loves it. This is probably going to be my kid that could be a swimmer at some point with that. But it's knowing where do we want to put the money, right? What do we want to focus it in on? Because I have a general idea in your financial world, but I certainly have the idea in mine. I don't have infinite money to make these things happen. So we've got to make those choices.
If I could give one more plug, and I'm going to do a shameless plug here for my son. As you know, he's also a musician.
Yes.
Just released his first album. His name's Gabe Gooden. Look him up. Can I say that on
Love
here?
It. Absolutely.
You know, he's 17, and he's worked hard. He again, wrote these songs. We recorded them all. He released the album. He wants to do this for a living. But he's realistic. I've made sure he's realistic. Right? The number of people who can make a living like this are very small comparatively. But he's got a plan. He said, okay, Dad, I'm going to spend 5 years and give this everything I've got. If that doesn't work, I'm still young. I'm still in my early 20s. I can then pursue something else, and I haven't wasted my whole life, you know, trying to live the dream that he doesn't come to fruition. So I love that maturity in him, and that's part of helping guide him through that, talking through that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely through there, and that does also that dovetails right beautiful with the way that we'll finish up here. And There was a study done, different study here, not the USDA one, but a different study done in 2016, talking about extracurricular activities and kids, right? So it's sports, it's drama, it's dance, it's whatever. 2016, they said the average parent spent about $750 per kid, and that every year it was increasing by $50 as to what those costs were, which is about $1,000 a kid today on quote-unquote extracurricular activities. So really two quick questions here to finish it up. How did you and Krista go about saying, well, this is what our limit is, and how did you go about determining, you know, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but what you were willing to spend that money on?
Yeah, again, it comes back to budget, both budget money and time.
Mm-hmm.
Money-wise, okay, here's what we're going to spend in this category, and we're just not going to go beyond that. We supplemented that a little bit by asking the grandparents who wanted to bless our kids with a,
right,
hey, could you, instead of buying them every toy in the world, could you spend that money on these things that they want to do?
Yes.
But then budgeting time. One of the things that we protected all the way as they were growing up is we're not going to be the kind of family that is out every
right.
single night, all weekend, doing everything there is to do.
Yes.
So basically, you can pick one activity for each kind of season of the year, and we will try to find the money and spend the time. And we'll be out there as parents. We're going to be there with you, but we're not going to be at 18 things. We're not going
right.
to be at three things even. We're going to be at one thing. So it's really a matter of budgeting time and money.
Yep. Yep. 100%. We've done the same thing with ours. It's we'll open it up to what you would like to do. And then we're going to go, where does it fit in the schedule? Where does it fit in the budget? We'll support you when you're there doing these things. But there is a limit to that. I'll use my oldest daughter as an example. You know, I in the fall, went to almost every cross-country race she had because they were pretty much all local. And by local, I mean in Colorado Springs. The spring, her track season, there's nothing that's local. Everything's at least an hour away. I might make it to one or two because of all the other things we've got going on. Doesn't mean we're not supporting her. It means mom and dad have two people and six children. I have not figured out how to clone myself yet. I can't send myself multiple places. I can't do the Star Trek thing and have Scotty beam me from one spot to another, which would be great. I get to Phoenix very quickly next week. But it really is about that time and about that money and about the budget and how everything works in there together. Any final words for the audience as we close up today?
I would just say saying no doesn't automatically make you a bad parent. Now we can be too miserly, right? We can
yes.
be too harsh, but saying no to some things, that's okay. That's how life works.
Yes, yes, indeed. So, folks, that's it for today's edition of Money Matters. If you've got any questions you'd love to talk about, feel free to give me a call, 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. Happy to talk about raising kids, budgeting money, or quite frankly, anything else in your universe where that dollar touches. We will be back next week with another edition of Money Matters. Please stick around for that. Come back in next week, Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. We're talking about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.